I have to continue to do a better job of managing my time. Making sure that, give you an example, like after the Sunday game, making sure that I give myself enough time to be ahead on the next opponent. So, like, maybe that previous week on Friday, maybe watch a few more games than I watched this year on the next opponent so that I'm ahead on that. I think that I have to have a little more patience with certain things, maybe younger players, things like that. I want guys to be able to do it right now, and sometimes I have to be a little bit more patient with younger players. I think in some regards I have to be more demanding on things like line of scrimmage penalties. Like, we got to cut that out. I was doing this red area study, and we had too many offsides penalties in the red area, things that wasn't blamed on one person, or was just the offense jumped offsides. So be more demanding on those types of things and eliminate those penalties. So there's a lot of things that I can get better at. Yeah.
What are your eyes go to? What do you look at?
Divisional games, first of all, like when they're being played. So Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee. When those games are being played, meaning let's say our first AFC South opponent is Jacksonville, and let's say week three. Well, we're going to put a lot of work into Jacksonville between the time the schedule comes out and summer break. We've already put a lot of work into our divisional opponents just like they've done with us, but when the schedule comes out, that's when it's really okay. Indianapolis is week two. Let's make sure we're buttoned up on what's going on with Indianapolis, who they've acquired, what type of team they have this year. So that's the first thing that I look at. And then I look at the crossover games, so like when those occur, meaning the travel to the East Coast. So we're playing the AFC East, so I know we're traveling to Buffalo. I think we're traveling to the Jets. So, like, how is that travel taking place, and what is the game after that game? Like, you know, are we traveling to Buffalo and then having to go play somebody else on the road somewhere else? You know, I look at that because that'll determine how I set the schedule for those 2 weeks, the practice schedule and all that. Thursday night games, Monday night games, short weeks, because I have to start thinking about how we want to practice. I did a thing, you know, this year. Here's a good one on your question. You know, I was going basically full pads on Wednesdays early in the season. And because of some of the schedule and the way that we're talking here, you know, a lot of these guys, there's a lot of contact on Sundays, so it's taking them a couple extra days to get back. So I changed. I went to no pads on Wednesdays, somewhat more of a lighter practice to a heavier practice on Thursdays. I want to be more prepared for that this year. Like, how is that going to go, you know, based on our schedule and things like that? So those are some of the things I look at.
Did you do that on your own, or that committee, your veterans committee?
That was more on my own. I think they, I could, they didn't have to say anything to me. I could kind of, you know, when those guys are like, I'm not going to be able to go today because I'm my shoulder, my, you know, these guys just have a ton of respect for these players and the contact of the game. I mean, it's just like, I mean, these guys putting it on the line every week. I mean, I just, every year I'm in coaching, I have more and more of an appreciation of the physical nature of the game, the violence of the game. And so I think that I try to do a good job of keeping tabs on that with our team. And as the year went on, we actually went shells probably week 12 through 16, week 13 through 16. We probably didn't even go pads. Try to keep our team as fresh as possible.
When are your OTA?
So April 20th, we go for 2 weeks. That's phase one. And then the beginning of May is like another 2 weeks of phase two. So I want to say like right before Memorial Day through about the middle of June. We go 9 straight weeks. If I had the dates right here in front of me, I'd be able to.
You know when the mini camp is?
I want to say the June 15th, 16th, 17th, something like that. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Is that about
so don't
year?
Like don't write the article and say this guy doesn't even know his own dates of his. I don't have it right here in front of me, John.
Did you change any of that from last year? Other than five?
Well,
one less because you're second year coach.
Right, last year we were able to have an extra 2 weeks, I think it was, and so this year, we had to kind of condense the plan a little bit.
So you like everything the way you set it up last year and this year?
Well, we changed some of the things that we changed like kind of when we lift and when we go out to the field for certain things. So sometimes we're going to go out to the field and then come back and lift because the field isn't as strenuous as, you know, some of the other days. So we kind of tweaked a little bit of it.
You're always talking about, you mentioned Rick a lot. What's the key to having a good relationship between a coach and a general manager?
Communication. Every day. Every day we meet in the morning and before we go home at night. So, like, whenever we get in there, we meet. So let's say, he's good about it. Like, I'm kind of an early riser, so as most coaches are. I get in there early, and so, he'll let me kind of get my things together for the day, and then we'll meet probably around 8 o'clock every morning. And we'll meet sometimes for 15 minutes, sometimes for an hour. And it's always about football. It's always about players and personnel. And it's good. It's good. And then we meet at the end of the day. But I think the key to it is communication because, I mean, think about it. Last year, a year ago, more than a year ago, we didn't even know each other, had never met each other. So now we're into this basically setup where we're partners in this thing, and we got to put this team together to try to win a championship. So, like, how are you going to do that? Well, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be a lot of agreements. There's going to be visions. You know, like, how are we seeing this thing? How do we see this player? A lot of film watching. You know, so I think it's all about communication, and I think that we communicate very well. I don't want to speak for him. He may come in here this morning and tell you we don't communicate well at all, but I would tell you that we do. I'm kidding. Oh, that's right. Just on the coaching side of it, so meaning that giving the scouting department more help on how we see some of those late round projections and those post draft guys, just helping those guys more is what I mean there. Yeah, I don't think our coaching staff did enough last year to help with that process, that part of the process. So that's what I mean.
Hey, Bill, I don't want to interrupt, but you know Chip Kelly very well.
Yes.
Chip's done a lot of stuff in the last few weeks.
Yep.
And the big question in Philly is Chip crazy? Do you think Chip's crazy?
No.
What do you make of all that?
No, and I've known Chip for a long time, and I would never doubt Chip. Chip's a very bright guy. He knows what type of team he wants. He's got really good football knowledge, and he's got a great vision of what he wants his team to look like. And so I would say that the Philly fans should have complete confidence in Chip Kelly.
What about the Sam Bradford move? I mean, he was out there, you know. You probably looked at him. What did you see?
Yeah, I think Sam Bradford was a number one draft pick, and because of some bad luck, he's had some injuries. It doesn't mean that he's not a good quarterback. The guy's he's an accurate passer. He's a very bright guy. I kind of have a relationship with the Oklahoma staff, and they love him there and the way that he competed. I've watched him on tape. Josh McDaniels was a great friend of mine, coached him in St. Louis. He really spoke highly of him. So, again, it's about his vision for his team, and he feels like, you know, Sam fits that vision for his team. And
did you guys consider going in that direction at all?
With Sam Bradford?
Yeah.
No. You know, again, that's what's important about what I'm saying is every coach has a vision for what they want their team to look like. My vision, along with Rick Smith, our GM, is, you know, we felt like we had two guys out there that knew our system, that we knew really well, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, that we think can come in here and help our team be a better team. And so that's the direction. We feel really good about where we're at right now at that position.
Yep. Bill, how is using tempo in the NFL different or maybe more challenging than it would be at the college level?
Well, it's different because, again, it's more about the players. So from an offensive standpoint, the players on defense are professional players across the board, more talented, obviously, than a college defense, and they're able to adjust a lot faster. So most pro defenses, they can communicate really fast, get lined up, and, now what you're seeing with no-huddle offenses is the defenses are becoming no-huddle defenses, and they're just as multiple as you are on offense. So they may line up and show you coverage one snap, and then the next snap blitz you. So I think it's more difficult because of how the pro defenses are adjusting to it.
I know Chip has said they don't spot the ball as quickly at the NFL level. Is that something you found also, the refs and the officials?
I don't know. When we played Philly, they spotted it pretty quick. So I don't know. I think it depends on the crew. Certain crews will spot it quickly. Other crews will stand over the ball. And, one of the things in our league is with the substitutions, when the offense substitutes, the defense has to have a chance to match. So I think the officials do a good job of allowing that to happen.